or a house to drop on my head when I least expected it. My life had taken a stranger turn than I could have ever imagined. What was I doing on this path? Where was I headed, really? Who was I to take on a battle between powers I didn't understand, armed with a runaway cat, a uniquely bad drummer, a pair of garden shears, and an Ovaltine-drinking teen Galileo? To save a girl who didn't want to be saved.
"Wait up, you stupid cat!"
Link scrambled after Lucille, who had become the leader, zigzagging her way in front of us as if she knew exactly where we were going. It was ironic, because I didn't have a clue. Two hours later, the sun was still shining, and my uneasy feelings were growing. Liv and Link were walking ahead of me, which was Liv's way of avoiding me, or at least the situation. I couldn't blame her. She'd seen my mother and heard everything Amma said. She knew what Lena had done for me, how it explained her dark and erratic behavior. Nothing had changed, but the reasons for everything had. For the second time this summer, a girl I cared about, who cared about me, couldn't bear to look me in the eye. Instead, she was passing the time walking up the path with Link, teaching him British insults and pretending to laugh at his jokes. "Your room is grotty, your car is skanky, maybe manky," Liv teased, but her heart wasn't in it.
"How do you know?"
"From looking at you." Liv sounded distant. Teasing Link didn't seem to be enough of a distraction.
"What about me?"
Link ran his hand over his spiky hair to make sure it was sticking up just right.
"Let's see. You. You're a git, a prat."
Liv tried to force a smile.
"That's all good, right?"
"Of course, the best."
Good old Link. His trademark charmless charm could salvage almost any desperate social situation.
"Do you hear that?"
Liv stopped walking. Usually when I heard singing, I was the only one, and it was Lena's song. This time everyone heard it, and the song was a far cry from the hypnotic voice of 17 moons. This was bad singing, dying animal bad. Lucille meowed, her hair standing on end. Link looked around.
"What is that?"
"I don't know. It sounds almost like..." I stopped.
"Someone in trouble?"
Liv held her hand near her ear.
"I was going to say, leaning on the everlasting arms."
It was an old hymn they sang at the sisters' church.
I was half right.
When we rounded the corner, Aunt Prue was walking toward us, holding on to Thelma's arm, singing as if it was Sunday at church. She was wearing her white flowered dress and matching white gloves, shuffling along in her beige orthopedic shoes. Harlan James was scampering along behind them, nearly as large as Aunt Prue's patent leather handbag. It looked like the three of them were out for a stroll on a sunny afternoon. Lucille meowed and sat down on the path in front of us. Link scratched his head behind her.
"Dude, am I seeing things? 'Cause that looks a lot like your crazy aunt and that flea-bag dog of hers."
At first, I didn't answer him. I was too busy figuring the odds of this being some kind of caster mind trick. We'd get close enough, then Seraphine would step right out of my aunt's skin and kill all three of us.
"Maybe it's Seraphine,"
I was thinking out loud, trying to find the logic in something completely illogical. Liv shook her head.
"I don't think so. Cataclysts can project themselves into the bodies of others, but they can't inhabit two people at once. Three, if you count the dog."
"Who would count that dog?"
Link made a face. Part of me, the biggest part of me, wanted to take off and figure it out later. But they saw us. Aunt Prue, or the creature impersonating Aunt Prue, waved her hanky in the air.
Ethan!
Link looked back at me.
Should we make a run for it? Finding you was harder than herding cats,
Aunt Prue called, shuffling across the grass as fast as she could. Lucille meowed, tossing her head.
Now, Thelma, keep up.
Even at a distance, it was impossible to mistake the off-kilter walk and the bossy tone.
No, that's her.
Too late to run.
How did they get down here?
Link was as stumped as I was. It was one thing to find out Carlton Eaton delivered the mail to the Luni Libri, but seeing my 100-year-old great-aunt wandering around in the tunnels in her church dress was something else. Aunt Prue dug her cane into the grass, working her way up the path.
Wesley Lincoln, are you gonna stand there and watch an old woman work herself into a state, or are you gonna get on over here and help me up this hill?
Yes, ma'am. I mean, no, ma'am.
Link almost tripped as he ran to hook his arm through hers. I caught the other. The shock of seeing her was starting to wear off a little.
Aunt Prue, how did you get down here?
Same way as you, I expect. Came down through one of them doors. There's one right behind Missionary Baptist. I used it to sneak out of Bible school when I was younger than you.
But how did you know about the tunnels?
I couldn't figure it. Had she followed us?
I've been down in these tunnels more times than a sinner swore off of the bottle. You think you're the only one who knows about what goes on in this town?
She knew. She was one of them, like my mom and Marion and Carlton Eaton, mortals who had somehow become part of the Castor world.
Do Aunt Grace and Aunt Mercy know?
Course not. Those two can't keep a secret to save their lives. That's why my daddy only told me, and I never told a soul, except Thelma.
Thelma squeezed Aunt Prue's arm affectionately.
She only told me because she couldn't climb down the stairs on her own anymore.
Aunt Prue swatted at Thelma with her handkerchief.
Now, Thelma, you know that's not true. Don't tell stories.
Did Professor Ashcroft send you after us? Liv looked up nervously from her notebook. Aunt Prue sniffed.
No one sends me anywhere. Not hardly. I'm too old to be sent. Came on my own.
She pointed at me.
But you best hope Amma isn't down here looking for you. She's been boiling bones since you left.
If she only knew. Then what are you doing down here, Aunt Prue? Even if she was in the know, the tunnels didn't seem like the safest place for an old lady.
Came to bring you these.
Aunt Prue opened her pocketbook and held it out so we could see inside. Under the sewing scissors and coupons and King James pocket Bible was a thick stack of yellowed papers, folded neatly into a bundle.
Go on now, take 'em.
She might as well have told me to stab myself with the sewing scissors. There was no way I was going to reach into my aunt's purse. It was the ultimate violation of Southern etiquette. Liv seemed to understand the problem.
May I?
Maybe British men didn't go through women's purses either.
That's what I brought 'em for.
Liv lifted the papers gently out of Aunt Prue's purse.
These are really old.
She opened them carefully on the soft grass.
They can't be what I think they are.
I bent down and studied them. The papers looked like schematics or architectural plans. They were marked in all different colors and written by many different hands. They were painstakingly drawn across a grid, each line perfectly measured and straight. Liv smoothed the paper flat, and I could see the long rows of lines intersecting one another.
Depends on what you think they are, I reckon.
Liv's hands were shaking.
They are maps of the tunnels.
She looked up at Aunt Prue.
Do you mind if I ask where you got these, ma'am? I've never seen anything like them, not even in the Lunai Libri.
Aunt Prue unwrapped a red and white striped peppermint from her purse.
My daddy gave them to me, like my granddaddy gave them to him. They're older than dirt.
I was speechless. No matter how normal Lena thought my life would be without her, she was wrong. Curse or no curse, my family tree was all tangled up with casters. And their maps, fortunately for us.
They're not close to done. I was a real draftswoman in my day, but my bursitis got the best of me.
I tried to help, but I don't have the knack for it like your aunt.
Thelma looked apologetic. Aunt Prue waved her handkerchief.
You drew these? I drew my share.
She pushed on her cane, straightening with pride. Liv stared at the maps in awe.
How? The tunnels are absolutely endless.
An itty bit at a time. Those maps don't show all of the tunnels. The Carolinas, mostly, and some of Georgia. That's about as far as we got.
It was unbelievable. How could my scattered aunt have drafted maps of the Castor tunnels?
How did you do this without Aunt Grace and Aunt Mercy finding out?
I couldn't remember a time when the three of them weren't so close they were bumping into each other.
We didn't always live together, Ethan.
She lowered her voice as if Aunt Mercy and Aunt Grace might be listening.
And I don't really play bridge on Thursdays.
I tried to imagine Aunt Prue charting the Castor tunnels while the other elderly members of the DAR played cards at the church social hall.
Take 'em. I reckon you'll need 'em if you're fixin' to stay down here. Gets real confusing after a while. Some days I'd get myself so turned around I could barely get myself back to South Carolina.
Thanks, Aunt Prue, but...
I stopped. I didn't know how to explain it all. The arc light and the visions, Lena and John Breed and the Great Barrier, the moon out of time and the missing star, not to mention the crazy dials spinning on Liv's wrist, least of all, Seraphine and Abraham. It wasn't a story for one of the oldest citizens in Gatlin. Aunt Prue cut me off with a wave of her handkerchief in my face.
Y'all are as lost as a hog at a pig pick. Unless you want to be slapped on a bun with Carolina gold, you best pay attention.
Yes, ma'am.
I thought I knew right where this particular lecture was headed, but I was as wrong as Savannah Snow wearing a sleeveless dress and chewing gum at youth choir.
Now you listen up, you hear?
She pointed her bony finger at me.
Carlton came sniffing around to see what I knew about someone breaking into the Castor door at the fairgrounds. Next thing I hear, that Duquesne girl is missing. You and Wesley have run off, and that girl's staying with Marion, you know, the one who puts milk in her tea, is nowhere to be seen. Seems to me that's one too many coincidences, even for Gatlin.
Big surprise there. Carlton spreading the news.
Whatever it is, you need these, and I want you to take 'em. I don't have time for all this nonsense.
I guessed right. She knew what we were doing, whether she let on or not.
I sure appreciate your concern, Aunt Prue.
I ain't concerned. Not so long as you take the maps.
She patted my hand.
Y'all are gonna find that gold-eyed Lena Duquesne. Even a blind squirrel sometimes finds himself a nut.
I hope so, ma'am.
Aunt Prue patted my hand and took hold of her cane.
Then you better stop talking to old ladies and meet that trouble halfway, so there'll only be half as much. Good Lord willing, and the creek don't rise.
She steered Thelma away from us. Lucille ran along behind them for a minute, the bell on her collar jingling. Aunt Prue stopped and smiled.
See, you still got that cat. I was waiting for the right time to let her off of that clothesline. She knows a trick or two. You'll see. You still got her tag, don't you?
Yes, ma'am. It's in my pocket.
Needs one of those rings to fix it on her collar. But you hold on to it, and I'll get you one.
Aunt Prue unwrapped another peppermint and dropped it on the ground for Lucille.
I'm real sorry I called you a deserter, old girl, but you know Mercy'd never have let me give you up otherwise.
Lucille sniffed the peppermint. Thelma waved and smiled her big Dolly Parton smile.
Good luck, sweet meat.
I watched them walk down the hill behind us, wondering what else I didn't know about the people in my family. Who else seemed senile and clueless, but was actually watching my every move? Who else was protecting Caster scrolls and secrets in their spare time, or mapping a world most of Gatlin didn't know existed? Lucille licked the peppermint. If she knew, she wasn't talking.
Okay, so we got a map. That's gotta be something, right, MJ?
Link's mood improved after Aunt Prue and Thelma disappeared down the path.
Liv?
She didn't hear me. She was flipping pages in her notebook with one hand and tracing a pathway across the map with the other.
Here's Charleston, and this must be Savannah. So if you assume the arc light has been helping us find the southern pathway toward the coast...
Why the coast? I interrupted.
Due south. As if we were following the southern star, remember?
Liv sat back, frustrated.
There are so many branching pathways. We're only a few hours from the Savannah Dorwell, but that could mean anything down here.
She was right. If time and physics didn't directly correspond above and below the ground, who was to say we weren't in China by now?
Even if we knew where we were, it could take days to find it on this map. We don't have time.
Well, we'd better get started. It's all we've got. But it was something. Something that made it feel like we might actually be able to find Lena. I wasn't sure whether it was because I believed the maps could get us there, or because I thought I could. It didn't matter, as long as I found Lena in time. Good Lord willin', and the creek don't rise.
June 19th. Bad Girl.
My optimism was short-lived. The more I thought about finding Lena, the more I thought about John. What if Liv was right, and Lena would never go back to being the girl I remembered? What if we were already too late? I thought about the swirling black designs on her hands. I was still thinking about it when the words drifted into my mind. They were faint at first. For a second, I thought it was Lena's voice. But when I heard the familiar melody, I knew I was wrong.
17 moons, 17 years. Know the lost state of fears. Wait for him and he appears. 17 moons, 17 tears.
My shadowing song. I tried to figure out what my mother was trying to tell me. You don't have much time. Her words rattled around in my mind. Wait for him and he appears. Was she talking about Abraham? If she was, what was I going to do? I was so absorbed in the verse, I didn't realize Link was talking to me.
Did you hear that?
The song?
What song?
He signaled us to be quiet. He was talking about something else. It sounded like dry leaves crunching behind us and the low whipping of the wind. But there wasn't even a breeze.
I don't...
Liv began, but Link shut her down.
Shh!
Liv rolled her eyes.
Are all American guys as brave as the two of you?
I heard it too. I looked around, but there was nothing. Not a single living thing. Lucille's ears perked up. Everything happened so quickly it was impossible to follow, because it wasn't a living thing I'd heard. It was hunting Ravenwood, Macon's brother, and his killer. Hunting's menacing, inhuman smile was the first thing I saw. He materialized a few feet away from us, so quickly he was almost a blur. Another incubus appeared, and another. They ripped out of nowhere, one after the next, like links in a chain. The chain tightened, and they formed a circle around us. They were all blood incubuses, with the same black eyes and matching ivory canines, except for one. Larkin, Lena's cousin and Hunting's lackey, had a long brown snake curled around his neck. The snake had the same yellow eyes as Larkin. He nodded at the snake slithering down his arm.
Copperheads, nasty little bitches. You don't want to get bit by one of these. But then, there are a lot of ways to get bitten.
I would have to agree. Hunting laughed, baring his canines. A rabid-looking animal crouched behind him. It had the huge muzzle of a Saint Bernard, but instead of big, droopy eyes, it had sharp, yellow ones. The hair on its back bristled like a wolf's. Hunting had gotten himself a dog. Or something. Liv clung to my arm, her nails digging into my skin. She couldn't take her eyes off Hunting or his pet. I was pretty sure she had only seen a blood incubus in one of her Castor volumes.
That's a pack hound. They're trained to go for blood. Stay away from it.
Hunting lit a cigarette.
Ah, Ethan. I see you've found yourself a mortal girlfriend. It's about time. And I think this one's a real keeper.
He laughed at his own bad joke, exhaling wide smoke rings into the perfectly blue sky.
Almost makes me want to let you go.
The packhound growled low in its throat.
Almost.
You can let us go,
Link stammered.
We won't tell anybody, we swear.
One of the incubuses laughed. Hunting jerked his head around, and the demon didn't utter another sound. It was obvious who was calling the shots.
Why would I care if you told anyone? In fact, I enjoy the limelight. I'm a bit of a thespian.
He stepped closer to Link, but I was the one he was watching.
Who would you tell anyway? Now that my niece killed Macon, didn't see that one coming.
Hunting's packhound was foaming at the mouth, and so were his other dogs, the incubuses that only looked human. One of them inched closer to Liv. She jumped, tightening her grip around my arm.
Why don't you stop trying to scare us?
I tried to sound tough, but I wasn't fooling anyone. This time, they all roared with laughter.
You think we're trying to scare you? Thought you were smarter than that, Ethan. My boys and I are hungry. We missed breakfast.
Liv's voice was tiny.
You can't mean...
Hunting winked at Liv.
Don't worry, sweetheart. We may just bite that pretty neck of yours and make you one of us.
My breath caught in my throat. It had never occurred to me that incubuses could transform humans into their kind. Could they? Hunting flicked his cigarette into a patch of bluebells. For a second, I was struck by the irony of the situation. A pack of leather-clad, cigarette-smoking incubuses were standing in a meadow right out of the Sound of Music, waiting to kill us while the birds were singing in the trees.
It's been fun chatting with the three of you, but I'm getting bored. I have a rather short attention span.
He whipped his neck around, farther than any humans could possibly turn. Hunting was going to kill me, and his buddies were going to kill Link and Liv. My brain tried to process it while my heart focused on beating.
"Let's do this," Larkin said, flicking a forked tongue that matched his snake's.
Liv buried her face into my shoulder. She didn't want to watch. I tried to think. I was no match for hunting, but everyone had an Achilles heel, right?
"On my count," growled Hunting. "No survivors."
My mind raced. The arc light. I had the ultimate weapon against an incubus, but I had no idea how to use it. I moved my hand closer to my pocket.
"No," Liv whispered. "There's no use."
She shut her eyes and I pulled her closer. My last thoughts were about the two girls who meant so much to me. Lena, the one I would never save, and Liv, the one I was about to get killed. But Hunting never attacked. Instead, he cocked his head to the side awkwardly, like a wolf listening to another wolf calling. Then he stepped back and the other incubuses followed, even Larkin and the demonic Saint Bernard. His minions were disoriented, looking around at each other. They stared at Hunting, waiting for direction, but he didn't give them any. Instead, he backed up slowly, and the others followed. They were closing in on us, but in reverse. Hunting's expression changed, and he looked more like a man again, rather than the demon he truly was.
"What's happening?" Liv whispered.
"I don't know."
It was clear Hunting and his lackeys were confused, too, because they kept circling and pacing, moving farther and farther away from us. Something was controlling them. But what? Hunting locked eyes with me.
"I'll be seeing you sooner than you think."
They were leaving. Hunting kept shaking his head as if he was trying to shake something or someone out of it. The pack had a new leader, someone he had no choice but to follow. Someone very persuasive and very pretty. Ridley was leaning against a tree a couple of yards behind them, licking away at a lollipop. The incubuses dematerialized one by one.
"Who is that?"
Liv noticed Ridley. Oddly, not that out of place with her pink and blonde streaked hair, weird miniskirt with some sort of suspenders, and spiky sandals. She looked like a Caster Little Red Riding Hood, taking poisoned muffins to her wicked grandmother. Liv may not have gotten a good look at Ridley at Exile, but she was impossible to miss now. Link's eyes locked on Ridley.
"A real bad girl."
Ridley sauntered toward us, overconfident as usual. She tossed the lollipop into the grass.
"Damn, that really took it out of me. Did you save us?"
Liv was still rattled.
"Sure did, Mary Poppins. You can thank me later.
We should get out of here. Larkin's an idiot, but Uncle Hunting's powerful. My influence won't last long on him." Her brother and her uncle, a lot of bad apples had fallen off Lena's family tree. Ridley zeroed in on my arm, or rather, Liv's arm wrapped around mine. She took off her shades, and her yellow eyes glowed. Liv barely noticed.
"What's with you people? It's always Mary Poppins. Is she the only British character Americans have ever heard of?"
"I don't believe we've been properly introduced, although I keep seeing you everywhere." Ridley looked at me, narrowing her eyes. "I'm Lena's cousin, Ridley.
I'm Liv. I work at the library with Ethan."
"Well, since I've seen you at a Caster club and now in a Caster tunnel, I'm assuming we aren't talking about that hayseed library in Gat Dung, which would make you a keeper. Am I getting warm?" Liv let go of my arm. Actually, I'm a keeper in training, but my preparation has been quite extensive. Ridley looked Liv up and down and unwrapped a piece of gum. Obviously not that extensive if you don't recognize a siren when you see one. Ridley blew a bubble. It popped in Liv's face. Let's get going before my uncle starts thinking for himself again. We're not going anywhere with you. She rolled her eyes, twisting her gum around her finger. If you'd rather be my uncle's lunch, suit yourself. It's a personal choice, but I've got to tell you, he has disgusting table manners. Why did you help us? What's the catch? I asked. No catch. Ridley looked over at Link, who was recovering from the shock of seeing her. Couldn't let anything happen to my boy toy. Because I mean so much to you, right? Link snapped. Don't look so wounded. We had fun while it lasted. Link may have been hurt, but Ridley was the one who looked uncomfortable. Whatever you say, babe. Don't call me babe. Ridley tossed her hair and popped another bubble. You can follow me or stay here and try to take on my uncle by yourselves. She stalked off into the trees. The blood pack will be tracking you the second I get out of their heads. The blood pack. Great. They had a name. Liv said what we were all thinking. Ridley's right. If the pack is tracking us, it isn't going to take them long to catch up with us again. She looked at me. We don't have a choice. Liv disappeared into the forest after Ridley. As much as I didn't want to follow Ridley anywhere, getting killed by a pack of blood incubuses wasn't an appealing alternative. We didn't discuss it, but Link must have agreed, because we fell in line behind them. Ridley seemed to know exactly where she was going, though I noticed Liv never put away the maps. Ridley cut across the meadow, ignoring the path, and headed for a cluster of trees in the distance. Her sandals didn't seem to slow her down, and the rest of us had trouble keeping up. Link jogged ahead to catch up with her.
So, what are you really doing here, Rid?
It's pathetic to admit, but I'm here to help you and your merry band of fools. Link stifled a laugh.
Yeah, right. The lollipops don't work anymore. Try again.
The grass was higher as we neared the trees. We were walking so fast, the blades cut against my shins, but I didn't slow down. I wanted to know what Ridley was up to as much as Link did. I don't have an agenda, hot stuff. I'm not here for you. I'm here to help my cousin.
You don't care about Lena, I snapped.
Ridley stopped and turned to face me.
You know what I don't care about, Short Straw? You. But for whatever reason, you and my cousin have a connection, and you may be the only person who can convince her to turn around before it's too late.
I stopped walking. Liv looked at her coldly.
You mean before she gets to the Great Barrier, the place you told her about?
Ridley's eyes narrowed, and she glanced at Liv.
Give this girl a prize. Keeper does know a thing or two.
Liv didn't smile. But I wasn't the one who told her about the barrier. It was John. He's obsessed with it.
John? You mean the guy you introduced her to? The guy you convinced her to run away with?
I was shouting, and I didn't care if the whole blood pack heard me.
Slow down, Short Straw. Lena makes her own decisions, whether you believe it or not.
Ridley's voice lost some of its edge.
She wanted to go.
I remembered watching Lena and John, listening to them talk about a place where they could be accepted for who they were, a place where they could be themselves. Of course Lena wanted to go there. It was what she had dreamed about her whole life.
Why the sudden change of heart, Ridley? Why do you want to stop her now?
The barrier is dangerous. It's not what she thinks.
You mean Lena doesn't know Seraphine is trying to pull the 17th moon out of time? But you knew, didn't you?
Ridley looked away. I was right. Ridley was picking at the purple polish on her nails, a nervous habit casters and mortals shared. She nodded.
Seraphine isn't doing it alone.
My mother's letter to Macon flashed through my mind. Abraham. Seraphine was working with Abraham, someone who was powerful enough to help her call the moon.
Abraham, Liv said quietly. Well, that's lovely.
Link reacted before I did.
And you didn't tell Lena? Are you really that crazy and screwed up?
I cut her off.
She's a coward.
Ridley straightened, her yellow eyes glowing with rage.
I'm a coward because I don't want to end up dead? Do you know what my aunt and that monster would do to me?
Her voice was shaky, but she tried to hide it.
I'd like to see you face those two, short straw. Abraham makes Lena's mom look like your little kitty cat.
Lucille hissed.
It doesn't matter. As long as Lena doesn't get to the barrier. And if you want to stop her, we need to get moving. I don't know the way there. I just know where I ditched them.
Then how did you plan to get to the Great Barrier?
It was impossible to tell if she was lying.
John knows the way.
Does John know Seraphine and Abraham are there?
Had he been setting Lena up all along? Ridley shook her head.
I don't know. The guy's hard to read. He's got issues.
How are we going to convince her not to go?
I had already tried to talk Lena out of running away, and it hadn't gone well.
That's your department. Maybe this will help.
She tossed me a battered spiral notebook. I would have recognized it anywhere. I had spent enough afternoons watching Lena write in it.
You stole her notebook?
Ridley tossed her hair.
Steal is such an ugly word. I borrowed it, and you should be thanking me.
Maybe there's something useful in all that disgusting, sentimental drivel.
I unzipped my backpack and slid the notebook inside. It felt weird to hold a piece of Lena in my hands again. Now I was carrying Lena's secrets in my backpack and my mother's in my back pocket. I wasn't sure how many more secrets I could handle. Liv was more interested in Ridley's motives than Lena's notebook.
Hold on. Now we're supposed to believe you're one of the good guys?
Hell no. I'm bad to the bone. And I could give a rat's ass what you believe.
Ridley shot me a look out of the corner of her eye.
In fact, I'm having a hard time figuring out what you're doing here in the first place.
I stepped in before Ridley used another lollipop to get Liv to offer herself to hunting as a snack.
So that's it? You want to help us find Lena?
That's right, Short Straw. We may not like each other, but we have common interests.
She turned toward Liv, but spoke to me.
We love the same person, and she's in trouble, so I defected. Now let's get a move on before my uncle catches the three of you.
Link stared at Ridley.
Man, I didn't see this coming.
Don't make more of it than it is. I'll be back to my own bad self as soon as we get Lena to turn back.
You never know, Rid. Maybe the wizard will give you a heart if we kill the wicked witch.
Ridley turned away, digging the spikes of her sandals into the mud.
Like I'd want one.
June 19th. Consequences.
We tried to keep up with Ridley, who was weaving in and out of the trees. Liv was behind her, consulting the map or her selenometer constantly. She didn't trust Ridley any more than the rest of us did. There was something bothering me. A part of me believed her. Maybe she really cared about Lena. It was unlikely, but if there was a chance Ridley was telling the truth, I had to follow her. I owed Lena a debt I could never repay. I didn't know if there was a future for us, if Lena would ever again be the girl I fell in love with, but it didn't matter. The arc light was heating up inside my pocket. I pulled it out, expecting to see a pool of iridescent color, but the surface was black. Now all I could see was my reflection. The arc light seemed more than broken. It had become completely random. Ridley's eyes widened when she saw it, and she stopped walking for the first time in a long while. "Where'd you get that, Short Straw?" "Marion gave it to me." I didn't want Ridley to know it had been my mother's, or who had given it to her. "Well, that might even the odds a little. I don't think you can get my uncle hunting in there, but maybe one of the members of his pack. I'm not exactly sure how to use it." I almost didn't tell her, but it was true. Ridley lifted an eyebrow. "Little Miss Know-It-All couldn't tell you?" Liv's cheeks flushed. Ridley took her time unwrapping a stick of pink gum and folded it into her mouth. "You have to touch him with it." She stepped closer to me. "Which means you have to get close." "Whatever," Link pushed past her. "There are two of us. We can swing it." Liv tucked her pencil behind her ear. She had been taking notes. "Link might be right. I wouldn't want to get near any of them. But if we had no choice, it would be worth a try." "Then you have to lay the cast. You know, speak the incantation and all." Ridley was leaning against a tree, smirking. She knew we didn't know the cast. Lucille was sitting at Ridley's feet, studying her. "I'm guessing you aren't going to tell us what it is." "How should I know? It's not like there are a lot of those things around." Liv spread the map out in her lap, carefully smoothing it. "We're going the right way. If we keep going east, this path should eventually lead to the shore." She pointed to a dense cluster of trees.
"Where? That forest?"
Link looked dubious.
"Don't be scared, Hot Rod. I'll take Hansel, you take Gretel."
Ridley winked at Link, like she still had power over him. Which she did, but it had nothing to do with her gifts as a siren.
"I'll be all right on my own. Why don't you have another piece of gum?"
Link pushed past her. Maybe Ridley was like chicken pox. You could only catch it once.
"How long can it take to pee?"
Ridley threw a rock in the direction of a clump of bushes, anxious to get going again.
"I can hear you,"
Link's voice came from the bushes.
"Good to know at least some of your bodily functions are working."
Liv looked at me and rolled her eyes. The longer we walked, the more Link and Ridley went at it.
"You're not making it any easier."
"You need me to come back there and help you?"
"You're all talk, Rid,"
Link called from behind the bushes. She started to get up, and Liv looked shocked. Ridley smiled and sat down again, satisfied. I studied the sphere in my hands as the color changed from black to an iridescent green. Nothing useful, just colors that seemed on perpetual overload. Maybe Link was right. Maybe I had broken it. Ridley looked confused or interested. It was hard to tell.
"What's with the light?"
"It's like a compass. It lights up if we're going the right way. At least it used to."
"Hmm. I didn't know they did that."
She was bored again.
"I'm sure there are a lot of things you don't know."
Liv smiled innocently. Careful, or I might convince you to take a swim in the river. I watched the arc light. There was something different about it. The light began to pulse with a brightness and speed I hadn't seen since we left Bonaventure Cemetery. I turned to show Liv. El, look at this. Ridley's head whipped toward me, and I froze. I had called Liv, El. There was only one El in my life. Even though Liv didn't notice, Ridley did. Her eyes were wild as she sucked on her lollipop. She was staring right at me, and I could feel my will slipping away. I dropped the arc light, and it rolled across the mossy forest floor. Liv crouched over the arc light, sitting on her heels. That's strange. Why do you suppose it's flashing green again? Another visit from Amma, Aurelia, and Twyla?
It's probably a bomb.
I heard Link's voice, but I couldn't say a word. I dropped to the ground at Ridley's feet. It had been a while since she had flexed her siren powers on me. I had a fleeting thought before my face hit the mud. Either Link was right and he was immune to her now, or she was really holding back. If that was true, it was something new for her.
If you hurt my cousin, if you so much as think about hurting my cousin, you'll spend the rest of your miserable life as my slave. Understand, Short Straw?
My head lifted involuntarily and twisted, which made my neck feel like it was about to snap. My eyes forced themselves open, and I was staring into Ridley's glowing yellow eyes. They were burning so bright, I was getting dizzy.
Stop that!
I heard Liv's voice and felt the weight of my body slam against the ground before I regained control of it.
For goodness sake, Ridley, don't be stupid.
Liv and Ridley were standing face to face. Liv's arms were folded across her chest. Ridley held the lollipop between the two of them.
Settle down, Poppins. Shortstraw and I are friends.
It doesn't look that way to me. Liv's voice was rising.
Don't forget, we're the ones risking our lives to save Lena.
Their faces were lit with flashes of colored light. The arc light was going wild, pulsing color through the trees.
Don't get your knickers in a twist, mate.
Ridley's eyes were steely. Liv's were dark.
Don't be a bloody fool. If Ethan doesn't care about Lena, then what are we doing in the middle of these godforsaken woods?
Good question, Keeper. I know what I'm doing here, but if you don't care about boyfriend, what's your excuse?
Ridley was standing inches from Liv, but Liv didn't back down.
What am I doing here? The southern star has vanished. A cataclysm is calling a moon out of time at the mythical Great Barrier, and you're asking what I'm doing here? Are you serious? So this has nothing to do with boyfriend? Ethan, who is in fact no one's boyfriend, doesn't know anything about the Caster world.
Liv wasn't rattled.
He's in over his head. He needs a keeper.
Actually, you're a keeper in training. Asking you for help is like asking a nurse to perform open-heart surgery. And according to your job description, you're not supposed to get involved. So the way I see it, you aren't a very good keeper.
Ridley was right. There were rules, and Liv was breaking them.
That may be true, but I am an excellent astronomer. And without my readings, we wouldn't be able to use this map at all, or find the Great Barrier, or Lena.
The arc light went cold in my hand. It was completely black again.
Did I miss something?
Link stepped out of the bushes, zipping his fly. The girls stared at him as I pulled myself up out of the mud.
Sweet tea in the toilet. I always miss the good stuff.
What?
Liv tapped on her selenometer.
Something's wrong.
The dials are going crazy.
Beyond the trees, a crashing noise echoed through the forest. Hunting must have caught up with us. Then I had another thought, fleeting, but it didn't make me feel any less guilty. Maybe it was someone else, someone who didn't like us following her, someone who could control things in the natural world.
Go!
The crashing grew louder. Without warning, the trees on either side collapsed in front of me. I backed away. The last time trees had fallen in front of me, it hadn't been an accident.
Lena, is that you?
A few feet around us, great moss-covered oaks and white pines ripped up out of the mud, roots and all, crashing back to the ground.
Lena, don't!
Link stumbled toward Ridley.
Unwrap a sucker, babe!
I told you not to call me babe. For the first time in hours, I could see the sky, only now it was dark. The black clouds of caster magic had rolled in over us. Then I felt something, from far away. More like I heard something. Lena.
Ethan, run!
It was her voice, the voice that had been silent for so long. But if Lena was telling me to run, who was tearing the trees out of the ground?
El, what's happening?
I couldn't hear her answer. There was only darkness, those caster clouds rushing at us like they were chasing us, until I saw the clouds for what they were.
Look out!
I pulled Liv backward and pushed Link toward Ridley just in time. We fell into the brush as a shower of broken pines came falling from the sky like rain. The branches flattened into a great pile exactly where we had been standing. Dust stung my eyes, and I couldn't see anything. The dirt caught in my throat as I coughed. Lena's voice was gone, but I heard something else. A humming sound, as if we'd stumbled across the hive of 1,000 bees, all looking to kill for their queen. The dust was so thick, I could barely make out the shapes around me. Liv was lying next to me, bleeding above one eye. Ridley was whimpering, huddled around Link, who was pinned by a massive tree branch.
Wake up, Shrinky Dink! Wake up!
As I crawled toward them, Ridley shrank back. The look on her face was pure terror. Only she wasn't looking at me. She was looking at something behind me. The humming sound grew louder. I felt the burning cold of caster darkness on the back of my neck. When I turned around, the massive pile of pine needles that had almost buried us had formed some kind of bonfire. The pyramid of needles created a pyre, a giant burning platform pointing up into the black clouds. But the flames weren't red, and they didn't produce heat. They were as yellow as Ridley's eyes, and they emitted only cold, sorrow, and fear. Ridley's whimpering grew louder.
She's here.
I looked up as a stone slab emerged from the hissing yellow flames of the pyre. A woman lay on top of the rock. She looked almost peaceful, like a dead saint about to be carried through the streets. But she was no saint. Seraphine. Her eyes jerked open, and her lips curved into a cold smile. She stretched, like a cat waking from a nap, then rose to stand on the stone. From down below where we stood, she might as well have been 50 feet tall.
Were you expecting someone else, Ethan? I can understand the confusion. You know what they say, like mother, like daughter. In this case, more and more every day now.
My heart was pounding. I could see Seraphine's red lips, her long black hair. I turned away. I didn't want to see her face, the face that looked so much like Lena's.
Get away from me, witch!
Ridley was still crying, huddled next to Link, rocking back and forth like a madwoman.
Lena, can you hear me?
Seraphine's haunting voice rose over the flames, and she was there again, standing at the top of the fire.
I'm not here for you, Ethan. I'll leave you for my darling daughter. She's grown up so much this year, hasn't she? There's nothing like watching your child reach her full potential. Really makes a mother proud.
I watched the flames crawl up her legs. You're wrong. Lena's not like you.
I think I've heard that somewhere before. On Lena's birthday, perhaps. Except then you believed it, and now you're lying. You know you've lost her. She can't change what was meant to be.
The flames were at her waist. She had the perfect features of the Duquesne women, but they seemed disfigured on Seraphine. Maybe Lena can't change it, but I can. I'll do whatever I have to do to protect her. Seraphine smiled, and I cringed. Her smile was so much like Lena's, or how Lena's smile seemed lately. As the flames moved up her chest, she disappeared.
So strong, and so much like your mother. Her last words were something like that. Or were they?
I heard a whisper in my ear.
You see, I've forgotten, because it didn't matter.
I froze. Seraphine was standing right next to me now, still wreathed in flames. I knew it wasn't an earthly fire, though, because the closer she came, the colder I felt.
Your mother didn't matter. Her death was neither noble nor important. It was simply something I felt like doing at the time. It meant nothing.
The flames rose to her neck and leaped up, consuming her body.
Just like you.
I reached for her throat. I wanted to tear it out. But my hand slipped through her into the air. There was nothing there. She was an apparition. I wanted to kill her. I couldn't even touch her. Seraphine laughed.
You think I would waste my time coming here in the flesh, mortal?
She turned to Ridley, who was still rocking, with her hands clamped over her mouth.
Amusing, don't you think, Ridley?
Seraphine raised her hand and flung open her fingers. Ridley rose to her feet, her hands clinging to her own throat. I watched as the spikes of Ridley's sandals rose, hovering above the ground, as her face turned purple and she choked herself. Her blonde hair hung down from her body like a lifeless doll. Seraphine's ghostly form dissolved into Ridley's body. Ridley glowed with yellow light, her skin, her hair, her eyes. The light was so bright she had no pupils at all. Even in the darkness of the forest, I had to shield my face. Ridley's head jerked up like a marionette's, and she started to speak.
My power is growing, and soon the 17th moon will be upon us, called out of time as only a mother can. I decide when the sun sets. I have moved stars for my child, and she will claim herself and join me. Only my daughter could block out the 16th moon, and only I can raise the 17th. There are no others like us, not in either of our worlds. We are the beginning and the end.
Ridley's body collapsed back onto the ground like an empty sack. The arc light was burning in my pocket. I hoped Seraphine couldn't sense it. I remembered the flashing. The arc light tried to warn me. I should have paid attention.
You betrayed us, Ridley. You are a traitor. The father is not as forgiving as I am.
The father. Seraphine could only be talking about one person. The father of the Ravenwood line of blood incubuses. The father who started it all. Abraham. Seraphine's voice echoed over the sound of the flames.
You will be judged, but I will not deny him the pleasure. You were my responsibility, and now you're my shame.